The Catholic Church is to set up an independent company to publicly name and shame church bodies that fail to abide by a new code of practice to protect children and vulnerable adults. Catholic Professional Standards is being established in the wake of a litany of failures by church authorities identified through the Child Abuse Royal Commission. The not-for-profit company will develop new child and vulnerable person standards and then audit and publicly report on the compliance of each church entity. Church leaders say the move is revolutionary and will usher in a new era of accountability and transparency. The Brisbane Archbishop is Mark Coleridge, and I spoke to him earlier today.
Basically, Catholic Professional Standards has three functions. It will set consistent, clear, comprehensive standards across the nation. It will then audit compliance with those standards, and it will also attend to matters of training and education in what those standards mean and what they require.
Isn't the law of the land enough to persuade church authorities to ensure the safety of children through background checks, through reporting matters to police? Why do you need a separate company?
The law of the land is absolutely fundamental and is completely consonant with what Catholic Professional Standards will do. But Catholic Professional Standards goes beyond the law and applies the requirements of the law and the requirements of the church to the very particular situations that we face in our various communities. So it's really something that supplements and extends the requirements of the law. It's in no way antagonistic towards them. So we see it as a kind of partnership between church and state, between the civil law and the kind of standards and processes that we're putting in place with this initiative.
The naming and shaming aspect to the auditing and the reporting, is that the only consequence of the process? I mean, what's the incentive for a church authority to play ball here? Is it just the threat of public embarrassment?
Well, this is a question with which we've grappled long and hard in shaping this initiative we're calling Catholic Professional Standards. In fact, CPS will not be able to impose penalties in the strict sense, but they will be able to name and shame, and that in itself is a fairly potent sanction. And in dramatic instances, there will be the possibility also of the Holy See intervening, in other words, the Pope. But for instance, if a bishop in Queensland, where I am, were found not to be compliant, then I would certainly sit down with him and call him to account. So there are all different sorts of accountabilities built into this process without there being a strict capacity to impose penalties, like a fine or whatever. But we are confident within our own community that the naming and shaming will in fact be a very potent thing, and with other forms of accountability, in fact, will work quite effectively.
What level of detail will be published? And I'm thinking, will you publish referrals to police, settlements with victims, the reports of historical or contemporary claims, whether they're substantiated or not, sackings, defrockings? What level of detail will you put into that publication?
Well, I can't answer that question at this stage because I'm not one of the directors. And again, this body has not a structural independence. This is another question we've really grappled with. It doesn't have a structural independence, but it does have a strict functional independence. And therefore, those questions, which are in themselves excellent questions, will have to be answered by the directors with their proper independence. But my hope, I would have to say, is that the audit and the report from the audit will be as detailed as possible, because generalisations in this area will not serve the interests of anyone. So my hope is that the reporting will be quite detailed and specific.
There will be cynics and there will be critics of this company. Some might say, well, you're putting the fox in charge of the hen house, because the previous experience of Professional Standards has not been a happy one. And we can talk about the process through Towards Healing and the Melbourne response. How do you respond to the criticism that's going to come?
We're intensely aware that there are and will be critics and even cynics. We simply have to live with that. There is no way we can, as it were, satisfy everyone or silence all the voices. All I can say is that we have learned many, many things through the agonising process of the Royal Commission. We have learned much from the pain of the past, and many of the lessons that we've learned are gathered up into this new initiative. I can't say to you here and now, well, trust us, because in fact we have betrayed trust. That's evident. All I can say is this is a genuine attempt to learn from the past and ensure that the future in no way repeats the past, and that there is a kind of transparency and accountability and a consistency that have been patently lacking in the past.
Well, indeed, the Church has on so many occasions proclaimed itself to have independence, transparency, to be fair, to have accountable processes, and yet through the Royal Commission process, we've seen time and time again for it to be manifestly not so. Why would this be any different?
This is another kind of action. This is not just words. This is a very significant action that the Church is taking. Look, we all know that words, they can be important, but they can also be cheap. What this is not just words, it is an action. It's been a long time in coming. It's been the fruit of widespread soul-searching and consultation, and the proof will be in the pudding. So this is not just more hot air or self-protective language. This, in fact, is action that's out there for all to see. It has an objectivity and an independence which are quite new in our dealing with these agonising issues.
This enterprise presumably will be wholly funded and owned by the Catholic Church. So talking about independence, isn't it deeply conflicted, if only to be perceived to be conflicted?
Well, there may be the perception, but this again is something that we've had to grapple with. And again, I make the point that we decided that structural independence was simply impossible. But what we have worked very hard to achieve, and I think the directors are intensely conscious of this, is a functional independence. It is true that it will be funded by the Church, but the Church won't control the use of those funds. And the directors, we've appointed three, and there will be more to be appointed, they will have a genuine independence and will not be under the thumb of bishops or anyone else in the Church. So our hope is, and again the proof will be in the pudding, but our hope is that the functional independence will satisfy some at least of our critics, but we're intensely conscious that we're open to the charge that this is again Caesar judging Caesar, it's all in-house, it's not truly independent. Our hope is that there will be a genuine independence.
Who will be responsible then when things go wrong? Directors of companies are held responsible when things go wrong. Will this be the same?
That will be the same, and that's why we're calling it a company. That they will be responsible, and they're very conscious of that responsibility. If things go wrong, and at times things may go wrong, because the directors are people of vast experience and expertise, but they are in one sense new to this area, which is in some sense a minefield. So they will be on a steep learning curve. Things may go wrong, but nonetheless the directors will be in charge and they will have to bear the responsibility.
What do you think it will mean for victims of abuse, both those from the past and those going forward?
I think one thing it will mean is that the prevention of abuse is far more likely and secure with an initiative such as this. The other thing is that there will be far greater consistency and clarity, I hope, in the way in which survivors of abuse are treated. And so both prevention in the future, but also a more satisfactory and a more accountable way of dealing with those who have suffered abuse.
That's the Brisbane Archbishop and the Vice President of the Australian Catholic Bishops' Conference, Mark Coleridge.